DeMarco Show, the best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
Hey, we are rolling?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, of course we are. All right. Let's step it up.
Welcome.
Oh, hey there, Toots.
Right this way, please.
Yeah, I got it, Sonny. Nothing that.
Hey.
Adequate. Who designed these colors? I swear to putrid. All right, baby, there better be lions.
Actually, not that much. We're 20 minutes. Yeah, 20
minutes. Excellent. Call back in. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to call back in. I'm joking. But
I'm crashing. I'm tired.
No, I don't blame you. You've been on the go all day and even all weekend. So, Heather Lynn, we will talk to you next week.
Okay. I'll see you guys later. Bye, Patrick. Bye, Greg. And I love you, Greg. Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show. Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg, I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Yes! Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's gonna be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome!
You're listening to the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and, that's not, they come off really weird. Oh my god, see, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens, that's, I just gotta, this is, third time's a charm. This is the Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to the Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
It is that time of Sunday evening. The pay-per-view is over, and we are live on the Greg DeMarco Show with Patrick O'Dowd, Heather Lynn, and Sue Young. No Sue Young this week, however. Patrick O'Dowd and Heather Lynn are quote-unquote in the building. Patrick O'Dowd, you see, I finally solved the issue of how do I name the show. I just put everybody's name on it.
Hey, well, I mean, that's one way to go. That'll cover your bases.
That is.
In its entirety.
You know, you have to do what you have to do. You know, sometimes you just got to try to make everybody happy, and that's what we did. So I feel good about it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Can't do that.
Nobody can make everybody happy.
That's right.
Hashtag 32 fantastic every week.
I told you I'd eventually bring it back, Heather. I had to make a new one. I did. And there it is.
I like it, though. Thank you.
Well, yeah, of course you do. It's your song.
No, I know, but I like the whole Pretty Fantastic.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's what I had to pay the voiceover guy to do, or, you know, do myself, as it were, since we don't really have I am said voiceover guy. That's just what we do. Everybody's up in arms over a little pay-per-view that we had. Patrick O'Dowd started the show 1 minute early. He starts bitching about the internet reaction to the pay-per-view as the show's beginning. It was good stuff.
That's because they instantly hate everything. Oh, like,
of course.
I think Twitter and the internet would break if, like, the websites just once were like, this was a terrific pay-per-view. We really had no complaints.
I know, right? That would be it's not possible. It's not possible.
Like,
so everybody just needs
to say one good thing about it.
Everybody just needs
to
chill out.
If I saw something like that, I'd be packing away stuff for the apocalypse.
Everybody just needs to chill out, relax, put your feet up, and take off your pants.
It's time to get off.
That's much better. See how much better things are when you don't have pants on. I mean, really, that is the way. Am I right, Heather, or am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
See? Heather knows what I'm talking about. They really do, in more ways than seven. So, excellent. Well, of course, you are listening to the Greg DeMarco Show. Thanks to the folks at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio. Of course, head on over to my new home, WrestlingInc.com. We're about to get into some WWE Battleground pay-per-view reaction. But real quick, don't forget, next week, Heather, who's on the show?
Mr. Briley Pierce, a.k.a. Ryan Nemeth. That would be Dolph Ziggler's brother.
I was going to say, I almost feel like I should change the marketing and put Dolph Ziggler's brother first. But I think he's got enough of a name for himself to not have to only be Dolph Ziggler's brother.
Yeah, no, he's actually pretty nice dude. So, I'm sure he hears it a lot. So he probably is. Like,
he probably does.
Another
he probably.
Eye roll.
You know what you're going to hear a lot next week, Heather, is when I go back to the first Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton promo, and I cut out Daniel Bryan going, look at him, he's so pretty, and I keep playing it every time we talk about Bryan Pierce being on the show. That's going to be the next soundbite to get old. That's what that's going to be right there. The next in a long line, Patrick O'Dowd, of soundbites that have gotten old.
No soundbite.
You have a vagina!
See, it never gets old.
It doesn't. No, it won't.
Or at least not old to you.
None of them will ever get old to me because I'm me.
Greg DeMarco
is a great lover.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
So many people are like, talk about the pay-per-view. Okay, we'll talk about the pay-per-view. First thing I want to say is if you are listening right now and you're one of the people who just loves to bitch and complain about Ring of Honor's internet pay-per-views, shut up. You're not allowed to talk about it anymore. Like it happens to everybody. I don't care about the frequency that it happens, but it happens to everybody. They had a power outage in the arena. Like what do you expect? It just there are some things that are beyond control, and that's not. I love what people keep saying is Ring of Honor running this pay per view. It's like they just can't get past it. So that's all I'm going to say, Patrick O'Dowd. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, that's all you're going to say. I'm going to completely disagree with you, and I will continue to give ROH a hard time until they get it settled down, because I feel like those are two very different examples, man. Like,
would you shut the hell up?
No, see, yeah.
I control the mute button, Patrick O'Dowd. I control the mute. I just muted him, Heather. I've done it before. I haven't done it since you've been on. But I did just mute him. He's throwing things right now. Because here's why I muted him. Not because I don't care what he thinks. It's because I want to talk about the pay-per-view. And maybe that's my fault for bringing it up. But, you know, that's what I do. I'm waiting for him to message me. We'll bring him back.
You can't give a company who has had constant...
I just muted again. I just, you know, whatever I have to do. Heather, how you doing? Heather, what did you think of of the pay-per-view. What was your favorite moment of the pay-per-view?
The Rhodes family winning.
Yeah, that was a good one. I'll be honest with you. That
and
one,
it was
if
a really
I
good
were,
match, and it was good seeing Goldust back too.
If I were asked that question, I would give the same answer. I would give the exact same answer, to be honest with you. I love that match. Great match. Great finish. Match of the night for me. And I would say the same thing. Patrick O'Dowd, what would you say was your favorite moment of the pay-per-view?
My favorite, when the Big Show KO. No, just kidding. Not at all. I think for me, Antonio Cesaro swinging the Great Khali around like it was nothing. For whatever it's worth, the match wasn't that great, but
no.
That's insane. Like, that's unreal. And made my jaw drop. And I've seen him do that move literally dozens upon dozens of times, and it's still like, that was impressive.
It was impressive. I think a face turn's coming for Antonio Cesaro, because that's a very face move. I know it's been reported around the internet a little bit, but when you get over like that, and that's something, and the reason why isn't because the internet reports, it's because during the look back later in the pay-per-view, which, by the way, they dedicated a whole look back later in the pay-per-view
mm-hmm.
to the giant swing, JBL called it the Cesaro swing, which to me signifies something. They don't do that all the time. So to me, that means something.
When they were when he got started posting on Twitter, the WWE loaded it as a Twitter hashtag too. So definitely, this was planned.
Yeah, excellent. Well, yeah, and you know what? Good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad, because it's Antonio Cesaro, and it's a guy that we would love to see get a push. And his time will come eventually, regardless of when it comes. I mean, look at all the different people that we. We've wanted to get pushed before, and it took forever. So, yeah, it'll definitely come. So, and maybe this will accelerate that push. Who knows? But let's jump ahead to the main event of the evening. Daniel Bryan going one-on-one with Randy Orton for the vacant WWE Championship. At WWE Vacant on Twitter, by the way. Can still boast about being the WWE Champion. I know, Patrick O'Dowd, you already tweeted it, so let's just get this out of the way. Who was right?
You were right. Congratulations on being right on the non-finish element of the main event.
My prediction of a non-finish was right. I predicted a bigger fiasco than what we got. I predicted, like, locker room battling the Shield and all kinds of stuff going on. We didn't get that, and I kind of wish we had, but the story is with the Big Show, and that's fine. But we still have no WWE champion. I think we will after Hell in a Cell. And I think it was the right way to go. I know it's tough to end your pay-per-view that way, but I just, with a three-week build, really, we're not looking at a three-week build to Battleground. We were looking at a six-week build from Night of Champions to Hell in a Cell. And this was just the midpoint of that six-week build. And so I'm not at all upset with the finish of the pay-per-view. Maybe I guess we should have expected it. I don't know. Heather, how did you feel about the ending to tonight's pay-per-view?
I don't even know what the hell the end was. I was watching, and I'm like, really? Is this how we're ending it? I don't know if they're leading up to a triple threat Hell in the Cell match with the three of them, or if they're leading to, like, Orton and Bryan again, you know, with the, like, Show as a special guest ref or something. But I don't know, maybe Big Show turn, who knows. But it was, you know, like, the whole match was great. I was very unsatisfied by it because of how the match was actually pretty good. And then there was just no finish, no nothing. I mean, I don't know. I'm not big on non-finishes like that. I understand why they did it. It just doesn't mean I like it. But Maddox's facial expressions were really good.
Yes. He was really good. He's been sneaky good this entire time. I've been singing the praises of Brad Maddox for a while. Not as frequently because he doesn't always come up, but I think he's definitely very good at what he does. And I've said it before, the guy will have a long future in the WWE if he keeps this up. And, you know, the longer they have Brad Maddox, they'll never need Eric Bischoff again. So that also makes me happy because he pretty much fills that role, and he's a lot younger. I didn't see any other finish coming. Patrick O'Dowd, I don't know if you saw any other finish coming.
Well, it was mostly when we did the prediction show last week. I predicted Orton to go over. I think more because I don't like non-finishes to pay-per-views than anything. It's sort of a painted in the corner match because I don't know that there was really a compelling way for either one of them to win and really keep the story that they were telling going. So. What happened made sense. I have joked about it a couple of places already that, you know, it was a great ending to a Sunday Night Raw. And that, you know, it really kind of defines what this pay-per-view was in the sense that we've talked about it, it's a transitional pay-per-view. And so it's really just moving the story into the next chapter, which begins tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does. I wouldn't even call it a transitional pay-per-view. I would call it an opportunity to make money. I really think that's all it was. They were like, we can add another pay-per-view to the schedule. Even if it delivers a low buy rate, it's still profitable. And I think, and then, after all that's said and done, then they're like, okay, how can we fit this into our long-term plans? So I honestly think the booking was the third element of the pay-per-view after the business side of things, and so maybe that's why, you know, I understand not liking non-finishes to quote-unquote finish a pay-per-view, but I just don't, you know, in some situations, I guess if I don't see it coming, that's when I don't like it, but seeing it coming, to me it was more, I know this is going to happen, so let me see how they do it, and that's more where I sat on that, and you know, do we see anything other, Patrick O'Dowd, other than Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton at Hell in a Cell?
No, I think Heather made a good point. I think that the Big Show is definitely going to be coming into play. It's very clear that that's part of the direction that they're going with the WWE Championship, and so we'll just have to. I kind of want to see what plays out tomorrow. I think we're going to get a lot more answers tomorrow that'll allow us to. You know, see where they're really going. Because I don't think it's just going to be the two of them again. I don't know that I buy that.
See, I think it is. I think that's exactly where they're headed because that's why the Hell in a Cell structure makes the most sense. Because Triple H can point to the outside interference. He put Randy Orton in a situation in Night of Champions where there could be no outside interference. Of course, he had, you know, Scott Armstrong at his disposal, which, of course, we saw Scott Armstrong again tonight. So I do think that he's going to justify Hell in a Cell as the opportunity for Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan to settle it one-on-one, and maybe Bryan will demand it. Who knows? But I don't think we'll see the Big Show involved in the actual match itself because I think that Big Show-Randy Orton feud comes after this is all said and done with because I think we're finally going to have the Daniel Bryan WWE Championship run once this is over. So... But we'll see. Like you said, tomorrow's going to be very telling because with 3 weeks to build it, they have to establish whatever the main event's going to be tomorrow night on Raw. So
exactly.
That's what we'll see. What were your thoughts on the actual match itself? I know Heather said it was a great match. Heather, how would you compare it to some of their other outings?
It was actually almost the same as a lot of their other outings. I noticed that, you know, there's certain wrestlers that do a lot of the same things, but in certain orders. So it's pretty easy to watch the match and kind of know what's coming up next. There was a little, you know, variance and stuff, obviously, but I thought it was solid. I thought it was entertaining. It, you know, worked on you like it's supposed to, where you get up, Daniel, get up, and it was good. But I've seen it before, and I've seen it before, and. But I thought it was great. I just, like I said, I just felt so unsatisfied by the end.
Patrick, what did you think?
Unsatisfied.
What's that?
I said, you don't want to leave me unsatisfied.
No.
No. I don't have that soundbite, but it's okay. we haven't created a That's What She Said soundbite just yet, but we may have to. Just because. Patrick O'Dowd, what did you think of the actual match, regardless of the finish?
Again, I kind of put it akin to the sort of what Heather was saying, where it's a very familiar match at this point. It's almost like when AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels get in the ring. You kind of have a pretty good idea of what they're going to put together. You know, in my opinion, you know it's going to be pretty good. I still think that Randy Orton doesn't get near the credit that he deserves for his ability to work a good match. And I thought it was a good solid main event. It had the right hope spots. I loved the sort of tease towards the end where Daniel Bryan's sort of going on the relentless little onslaught of offense. And I do like that they're trying to find new and clever ways to work in getting the yes lock locked in. And put it in place in a way that, you know, again, you were like, sort of, here it is. And, you know, Heather, you've talked a lot about being unsatisfied with the ending, and I can feel that. But that's exactly what they want out of this moving forward, is they want you to be unsatisfied so that you'll stick around for whatever's coming next. Now, the danger is if they lose, you know, that fan with this story.
Right.
But I don't know that they're there yet.
I don't think they are, but it's kind of like the boy who cried wolf. I mean, we keep doing the same thing. And now, granted, this is the first non-finish we've had, but the other finishes have been reversed, whether it was with the Money in the Bank cash-in or with the next night on Raw.
But here's the thing, and this is why I guess I'm okay with it. He's not losing, you know, or he's not coming like, oh, so close and losing. Like, he's not getting like the Tommy Dreamer treatment. Everybody knows that Daniel Bryan can beat Randy Orton. They know that he can be the champion.
Right.
And so I think that's the part of it for me. Like, if he kept getting beat down like Rey Mysterio after he won the belt, like, you'd stop. You'd sit there when he finally won. I don't know that it would have felt that. It would have felt satisfying. So, you know, I guess it's. I feel like it's a little bit different other than, you know, if people are just tired of seeing the same match again and again.
And that was kind of my feelings on the match itself. I usually when two guys go at it again, it's like Heather said, like, you know what to expect from certain wrestlers. But then there's like one spot that stands out that's supposed to make that match unique, and that's something that's sort of been missing. That's why I think my favorite Daniel Bryan Randy Orton match was the hardcore match they had. Several months ago over the summer, just because, you know, it was different, and you had the creative yes lock into something creative. That yes lock at the end of this match looked nasty too. Like, Orton's arm was in there wrong.
Yeah.
And had Bryan not turned, that could have ended bad for Randy Orton. So, you know, and then of course, you know, it's against Randy Orton. So you screw up move against Randy Orton and you lose your job. So thank God for Daniel Bryan not doing that.
Yeah, totally.
And he'd be wrestling Mr. Anderson in TNA, and we don't want that. So that's kind of what I felt was missing from the ending, so to speak, is just, or the match, was just something to help set it apart. And that's somewhat been the knock on Daniel Bryan by some of the internet, is that he's become decidedly formulaic, just like every other WWE top-level performer becomes formulaic. And I think that's probably part of the recipe for success in the WWE, is you gotta become that way. So, Mothership Chip over in the Snake Pit. By the way, welcome back. I feel like it's been like a year since he's been in the Snake Pit, Patrick O'Dowd. He made a good point, basically called it a classic In Your House pay-per-view, which really did feel like, I mean, those In Your House pay-per-views, you didn't expect much from them, but you still watched them. And so maybe we can call this In Your House Battleground. If you read my Friday column over at Wrestling Inc., you would have known that I wanted to call it King of the Ring, but that's obviously not the direction that WWE went. But that's a whole other topic. So I think we all kind of know where this is headed, but we'll find out on Monday's Raw. Pay-per-view as a whole, though, Patrick O'Dowd, I didn't think was all that bad. I thought it was an entertaining pay-per-view. How did you feel about the overall product that we got?
It was pretty much what I expected. And so I was entertained by it. Like, going into this pay-per-view with a 3-week build, you know, you expect longer matches that are a step up from what you'd see on Raw. I think it delivered. I think that there is a little bit of a gem in that opener that we had, that again you called, and that the big gold belt was up for grabs in a pretty good hardcore match. And you know, I've said this many, many times about Alberto Del Rio. The man needs to get some love from somebody other than me, because I still think that, you know, they put together a good, he put together a good match with people he works well. And I thought that was a nice way to use RVD right before he goes on his vacation to try and help continue to elevate somebody and get their profile up. You know, there were a lot of highlights. I learned that Bray Wyatt can do some weird things with his body. And that, you know, good for him. And in fact, there's already lovely memes.
I know.
Larry, that was The Exorcist. Yeah, of course. So overall, and AJ didn't lose the Divas title. Like, I was sure she was going to. So I felt like it was a good show. I felt like it was a solid show. I do stick to my a little bit of a I like the In Your House comparison, the glorified Raw sort of feel to it. But good stuff in my opinion.
It did have that glorified In Your House feel to it, and I called it in my predictions. I called it a glorified Raw. I guess I was just okay with it. Heather, overall, before we get into some more individual matches, how did you feel about Battleground?
I thought it was okay. I don't think it was worth the $68 and stuff, but it was the last match up till the end made a lot, you know, made it kind of better. And the Del Rio match was really good. I did enjoy that one, kind of cringing at some points because, you know, hardcore matches and all that, but there was some stuff that didn't look so great and, like, just painful. That kick that haste that Ricardo took did not look really nice. And, you know, but, I mean, Rob Van Dam still can bring it, and it's ridiculous to see what he can do sometimes when he's been doing this for so long. I thought it had some entertaining points to it, but at the same time, there was also some stuff that was just kind of dragging. I don't know if it was the matches were a little longer. I noticed nobody brings up the Curtis Axel match. I completely forgot that was even on the card.
I know.
And, was it even on the card? And then, of course, they didn't have Ziggler on the card. And I understand why they put Kali on the card, because of the whole Swing thing, but it doesn't make up for Ziggler not being on the main card. Sorry.
But he was on. They consider that part of the main card, though. That's the thing. Like, to them, it's one and the same. In fact, the kickoff is almost an honor because they're trusting you to sell pay-per-views. So I don't know. But I understand why you want Ziggler on the main card. And I don't think you'll get
way
a whole lot of
argument. Way to be positive there, Greg.
Am I not allowed to be positive? I mean, come on. It's, you know, do you not want me to tell you to be negative? Do you want me to
No.
You just want Dolph Ziggler on the pay-per-view. That's all. You want what's best for Dolph Ziggler.
You know, Greg, there was a time when we wanted what was best for Dolph Ziggler.
Hey, it's better than being on the panel.
That is true. No.
You're welcome.
Hey,
see, that
Sweet
was sneaky
was
right
bringing,
there.
Sweet Tea was bringing some insight to the panel, by the way.
Sweet Tea is just so poorly used by the WWE.
Right?
I mean, I can't even begin to talk about how poorly used this guy is. So I won't begin.
Oh, I was like, we were giving you the chance to, man. I don't know.
I can't even begin, so I won't begin.
I don't know how to respond to that.
He just seeing him, I mean, he just, you know, the guy's got this history, and there's just a lot there, and they could probably use him better than they are. But I'm sure he's having fun. He's getting paid, so can't really complain about that. So let's jump back into the event itself as we took a break to have some fun. Feel-good moment of the show for a lot of people, Heather and I included, was Cody Rhodes and Dust picking up the victory over the Shield. You got to see Dusty Rhodes get involved. This one kind of went exactly as I predicted as well, but not on the show because only three matches were set up when we did our preview show, but in my column over at Wrestling Inc. And I think it went the way it was supposed to go. Heather, you know, Patrick likes to talk, so let's let you go first. What did you think of the match?
Oh, I loved the match. It was good to see Goldust back and looking still like he's in his prime for the most part. Those moonsaults were great from both of them. Or the moonsault and the what was it, splash? It was something, I don't remember. I'm getting old. But it was so solid. His face paint was different, so it threw a lot of people off. But, it was like Darth Maul. And when you say, I can't say Dusty without saying Dusty. So having Dusty ringside was absolutely fantastic. And then I have the bionic elbow, and you just jump up like a little kid, and it's like, oh my God, the bionic elbow. I was waiting for Sapphire to walk out. And then the end was great with, you know, Arn and Rotunda and everybody else coming out on the stage and celebrating with them. And it was a really solid, good match. The show looks good already, but they made them look even better. And I don't know where these guys get it from. The fact that, I swear to God, I thought Dusty was going to take a spear on the ramp for a second there.
I know.
I got a little worried. I got a little scared. I was like, he's 68 years old. But thankfully, you know, he was saved by Goldust, which was really good timing on that, too. I thoroughly enjoyed that match. That one was, like, that's the one I didn't turn away from for a second. That was really good.
Isn't Sapphire dead?
Yes.
Is she?
I mean, come on.
That's not cool.
You can't.
Oh,
no,
my goodness, ghost is there.
Oh, goodness, we have ghosts. Hey, God wrestled once, so, you know.
That's
they
true.
They can have the ghost of Sapphire can accompany somebody to the ring. Who knows? Patrick O'Dowd, I know I was being mean. What did you think?
It was a great little match. I think Mick Foley actually tweeted it best in talking about Goldust, and that he was in great shape and he was as crisp as you could have probably hoped for out of somebody. You know, I think you talked about it in your column too, about just there seems to be a definite level of motivation with Dustin right now that is kind of exciting, and I think shows that he could be a bankable guy to come back for whatever you say would have for him. And so, feel good moment. Always love to see things like the Dusty elbows or the bionic elbows or whatever you call them. And to see the legends come out and congratulating the family. It'll be very exciting to see how, you know, McMahon and Helmsley douse water on it all tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be interesting because I think at some point, because they're sort of letting things happen and they're really manipulating everyone, you know, at some point people are going to win and get the best of them.
Sure.
So we'll see what they build to. I feel like this has done what it needs to do for Cody Rhodes. I know, like you said, Goldust has definitely been motivated to show he can still do it. He's in better shape than he was at the prime of his career, and who knows just how much more time he can go. I think is he another product of DDP yoga? I don't know. It seems like everybody else is. So,
might be.
But in terms of Cody, I mean, I feel like Cody is as over as he's ever been.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't
absolutely.
Call on people. Heather, how do you feel about Cody Rhodes after all this?
Well, I think it brought him back, and it brought him back strong. I think he should contend for the world championship title. Like, you know, especially if it's going to be Sandow. If Sandow ends up cashing in and winning, I think him and Cody against each other, if that's what they're leaning into, would be fantastic. And I think they could put on a good series. But it's Cody, and he can put on a good series with pretty much anybody. And I like how in his promo he said, you know, if he had the skills of his dad and the ability of his brother, you know, but it's like he kind of does have a little bit of everything. He's a good-looking guy, you know, great body, but he's a strong wrestler. And his promos are pretty good, too. So I think if he just goes and you know, does what he can do, and we know what he can do because we've seen it, and elevates it to a new level, I think he can very well hold the world belt, the world championship, you know, or the WWE championship even at some point. And I think he's working his way up there, and I think he's doing it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Wouldn't it be better, Patrick, if Damian Sandow cashed in on Cody Rhodes and not Alberto Del Rio? Like, wouldn't it make more sense in the long run?
I mean, from a continuity standpoint, I mean, if it's something that they really care about, sure. Well, you know, you're the one who says wins and losses don't matter. So,
I do.
But. Yeah, I mean, for all their history, I think that it lends itself to an easier story. The nice thing about the Money in the Bank, you know, title shot / victory is that it creates its own narrative the second they cash it in and win the title. I completely agree. I think that a lot of people, I think that they've been high on Cody for a really long time. And we've talked about, like, biding your time and doing what the company has for you until you get that big moment. And I think that we're getting ready to see the rocket lit and see him shot up to the moon. I'm excited for him to see how it goes, because you're right. I think that either world championship would be fine and would be great, but we'll have to, you know, I can't wait to see how it's going to go. Can't wait to see how they put it in front of him. I think he'd be great to work against Alberto Del Rio, for that matter.
Yep.
I mean, who's he going to wrestle now? Like, who's he going to work
with? And he has worked well against Alberto Del Rio. They had a match on Raw where Del Rio won, but Cody, you know, it was a throwaway match where you knew Cody was going to lose, but he did a great job against Del Rio, and I think long-term he could be something. You know, I'm high on Cody Rhodes. I've written entire articles on it. I do want to point out Cody Rhodes still only 28 years old, 4 years younger than Daniel Bryan. So he started so young, and people don't forget just how young Cody Rhodes got started in the WWE because of who his dad was. I mean, I have no problems saying that, but I'm fine with it. Like, you know, great, because of who his dad was. Who cares? But, you know, he debuted on Raw in 2007. So he's been up there for 6 years now, and you know what? Good for him. That's that they've definitely groomed him to be the future, and hopefully the future is now, is kind of how I feel about that, because it's time. You could get a hell of a long run out of a guy like Cody Rhodes at this point, where you, if you need a 10-year performer at the top, Cody is the only guy they really have to do that. So, if that's even what they're interested in, outside of the members of the Shield. And that's something that I want to get to. How good are these guys? I mean, for having been up still less than a year, I mean, have they ever not delivered, Patrick O'Dowd?
No, I don't. You know, they are the epitome of what I – when somebody asks me if somebody looks hungry or motivated, or, you know, we drop that a lot. We say somebody looks motivated or somebody looks – though I think the Shield is the perfect example of what it looks like to see talented people who are hungry to go out there and put on, you know, the best match they possibly can over and over and over again. And we've raved about them since day one. We've loved them, each one of them in different ways and what they bring to the group. And yeah, terrific, terrific work, great matches. I think they make people look good, and that's really all you can ask out of that trio.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's just it's and they're so trusted. I mean, they've been put into so many big time situations, and they've always delivered. And so I think they're in a great spot. Heather, I mean, you look at the Shield. Any drawbacks to the Shield, or is really the sky the limit right now for all three of these guys?
No, I mean, I think it's evident by the fact that they're all three of them have a title that obviously they're doing something right. Everybody, you know, the internet and everybody, all the wrestling fans rave about Ambrose and his selling and everything. And Ambrose is amazing. I love watching him, but I see a lot of potential out of Reigns. It, like, there's something mm-hmm. about him that just draws you to him, and I think he's improving as he goes on. Because, I mean, they're all three of them, when they work together, are fantastic. When they're apart, you can still tell who's a little bit, you know, newer or not, or somebody like Ambrose is going to come off as a little bit stronger than the other guys because he just has this demeanor about him. But I look at Reigns, and it's like, you know, I see more coming out of him than when I saw The Rock at the same time. When I saw The Rock when he first started, it was kind of like, oh, The Rock, yes. Mm-hmm. And then he improved as time went on. And I think that's what's happening here. And, I mean, how long are they going to keep the three together? Who knows? And I think they're doing fantastic. I think all three of them have great wrestling ability. I don't know if it's the internet, if wrestling fans, or if it's just creative, it's going to determine who breaks off first and who ends up being the bigger star out of all of them.
And it's so funny because they all did it differently. I mean, Tyler Black, who's now Seth Rollins, went to the top of the indie wrestling mountain. He was the Ring of Honor world champion, and if Gabe Sapolsky stayed in Ring of Honor, it would have happened like a year and a half sooner than it did. And then Jon Moxley didn't get those opportunities because he chose and went the Dragon Gate Evolved direction, so he got less attention. He didn't go to Ring of Honor outside of a couple pre-show matches. Then Roman Reigns never spent a day on indies. Like, he went from pro football to, mm-hmm. you know, to NXT and then to the main roster. And all three of them are just bang up awesome at this point. And I think the future is bright for all three guys. I don't even know who's going to be the biggest star. I kind of go back and forth between Ambrose and Reigns. Just because of what Heather said with Reigns, like he has that it factor that people hate to hear that phrase it factor because we can't explain what it is. That's why we hate it. But he has it, and I think that's why he's going to be a huge star. And Ambrose is just, I mean, he is like, if you take the best elements of Piper and mix them with the best elements of Pillman, like, you get Ambrose, and that's hell of a high praise right there. So it's going to be great for all three of these guys. And the sky's the limit. And kudos to the WWE, by the way, for not throwing on a U.S. title match just to throw it on there. You know, there were other throwing in their matches that we didn't necessarily need, but at least they didn't give us a no reason to have it United States Championship match. So did Heather, you miss having the U.S. title on the show?
No. When Kofi came out, I completely thrown off for a second. I thought for sure he was going to face Ambrose for the title. And then I was like, oh, wait, no. Okay. So, I mean, the U.S. title is important, but if there's no build-up to it, don't just throw it on and defend it just to do it. Because you can just do that on a Raw if you're going to end up doing that anyway. So save, you know, a build-up for pay-per-view. Give us something with Ambrose and somebody. Cody and Ambrose, I'd like to see. And,
which,
you know,
I could see happening.
Something strong. Yeah, I could see, like, you know, Triple H getting upset and it ends up with Ambrose and him, and I think they could put on a hell of a match. I think they could absolutely take it to the next level and make everybody, like, freak out over it. And, you know, I want to see a build-up to a title match, because that's why you have a title, is to show that you're the best in that category. And somebody shouldn't just get the shot just to do it, to fill it, you know, a spot on the pay-per-view. I think it should build up to that, and you earn your spot, you know?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think in Hell in a Cell, Patrick, I think we could easily see the Usos versus Reigns and Rollins, and then see Cody Rhodes versus Ambrose in separate title matches, which I don't know that I like, but how would you feel about those two?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would be very good little matches. You know, the Usos got to get that title shot at some point, right? I'm not sure when it'll happen. I thought it may have happened at this pay-per-view, but they changed their mind and went with them going after the Rhodes. family. So who knows? We'll see. I think that, I can't really find fault with the decisions that were made regarding the Shield. I'm okay with no U.S. title match. I didn't miss it. It wasn't like I was like, you know, it would really make this pay-per-view better. So, keep it, don't mess with something that's working well. You know, don't tweak it. Don't tinker it too hard.
Yeah, the only reason why I'm not thrilled about the potential of those two matches at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, I'd love to see the Shield back in a big, you know, an important six-man tag team program again, like that. And then we get to see it on Raw and SmackDown on a semi-regular basis. But I'd love to see those guys in a Hell in a Cell match together. I know it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll be together long enough to have it next year. Who knows? I just don't know how long they can keep them together. Even if some of them break out, I'd still like them to all be Shield members. But that's probably wishful thinking on my part because for the majority of the audience, Shield member versus Shield member could have a hell of a lot of heat behind it. So it's something that they almost can't resist the urge to do at some point. So I want to move into CM Punk versus Ryback, the sort of semi-main event on this show. Of course, we also have the Lobo finish that took place. For me, kind of a great callback to when Ryback lost to CM Punk via low blow last year at Hell in a Cell. Of course, Brad Maddox was involved there. I enjoyed the match. I'd say I was a little surprised by the finish, but you know, if we go to our predictions, since we were able to predict this one, and by the way, just to make it official, last time Heather went with Daniel Bryan, Patrick went with Randy Orton, Sue went with Randy Orton, I went with no winner, and CM Punk versus Ryback, Sue had Ryback, Heather and Patrick had CM Punk, and I had Ryback is where we were. So point to you guys, no point to me on that one. Heather, what did you think of what they did with Punk and Ryback?
I thought it was clever, you know, using the a cheating tactic on one of Heyman's guys. You know, it was a little twist, and it was quite funny that it was the same finish pretty much as last time, just reversed roles. So I think the match itself, I mean, it's Ryback. And he's okay, but it's Ryback. And he's there to look big. So, you know, even Punk, he didn't look on his game like he usually is. I don't know if it was just the match. I don't know if he's just a bit overworked or something, but it didn't look like a typical CM Punk match that people are used to. I thought it was a little slow and a little off. And, I mean, there was boring chants. And I've never heard a boring chant during a CM Punk match. So, you know, it was good. The end was okay. Would I watch it again? Probably not. But, I mean, hey, you know, there's not really that many ways they can finish off an angle like this.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it was kind of a step in a direction, obviously, just like most of this pay-per-view was. And I'm kind of the same way in terms of the match didn't blow me away. It's the kind of match that 3 years from now someone will bring up Battleground and you'd be like, oh, Punk faced Ryback on that show? Like sometimes someone will bust out a 2003 pay-per-view and I'm like, I didn't remember that match happened. So I think this could fall into that category. Not a bad match, but not necessarily a great match. I don't know if that's Ryback's fault and CM Punk's fault. Maybe these two just don't work that well together. Who knows? But the big story here is, of course, between Paul Heyman and CM Punk. Patrick, what did you think of the Paul Heyman shenanigans in the middle of the match? And did you think that was going to cost Punk the match?
No, I didn't, just because of the timing of when it came up. It just seemed like it was a little early for to be the go-home part. I did want to get back to the question of, you know, the match not going so well. This is one of the few times where I actually think maybe the internet reports were proven a little true. There's been a lot of word around that Punk is working hurt, which has been going around for quite some time. I think that might have had something to do with what they could really do in that match and maybe the pacing and what messed with it. Because, it's not the first time those two have worked in the ring together before, and not that Ryback is a ring general or anything by any means, but they've worked better in the past as well. You know, the second you know, I think the question I asked during the preview show the week before was, you know, if Punk wins, does he get his hands on Heyman, or are there any stipulations? And the answer was no. And that was when once I had that clarified, I was like, yep, then CM Punk is probably going to win. Because Paul Heyman, you know, had the last victory. He got the pin, he got to crow about it, he got to brag about it. And it's sort of the ebb and flow and the pendulum swinging, with Paul Heyman sort of being quote unquote protected. This was one where we could make Paul scared again because he's been awful cocky, but not have him in the true danger of getting his comeuppance. And so, you know, it worked out fine. The match didn't blow me away. I wonder again about Punk's health and whether he maybe needs more rest than we're really giving him credit for.
So Heather, can Punk and Heyman continue to keep us entertained through whatever the blow off of this feud is? Like they've been golden so far, can they keep that going?
I don't know. I don't think Axel and Ryback are going to be the reason that we watch this feud. I think maybe bring back Lesnar or somebody, but if I have to see Punk against one of them two again, I might just not. No, I'm not even going to say it. Let's just say I won't enjoy it. But I don't know. It's just, it's good, but it's just, it's the same thing. So Punk wins. Now what? He's got the win over Ryback. He's got a win over Curtis Axel. And so now what's he going to do? Or what's Heyman going to do? I mean, the only good thing is I don't know what's coming up next in this angle. I'm assuming it might have something to do with Lesnar, but not until WrestleMania. So I don't know if they're going to keep this going to WrestleMania or even the Royal Rumble. They've got to do something to keep us entertained until then. And I'm not quite sure what they can do with the Heyman guys being Ryback and Curtis Axel. And I'm not in any way saying that those two are horrible. It's just that there's just, the whole feud just doesn't seem like it's between Punk and Heyman, but it's throwing Ryback and Curtis Axel in there is not helping.
Well, yeah, and you're exactly right. It is between Punk and Heyman, and I think it has to end between Punk and Heyman. I mean, this whole thing has been about CM Punk wanting to get his hands on Paul Heyman. He's going to rip his face off. He's going to break his face. And I think this thing ends when Punk gets his hands on Paul Heyman, and I still think it happens at Hell in a Cell. You know, I've said before, I think they're going to have a match somehow. Punk's going to get himself into him with Paul Heyman at Hell in a Cell, and I think that's going to end things for now. They could revisit it, come closer time to WrestleMania, but I think that's how they're going to end this. I mean, Hell in a Cell is actually going to be the blow-off pay-per-view that we've kind of been hoping for, and then we can move on to a few other things moving forward from there. So, Patrick, do we think it ends at Hell in a Cell? Do you think we can finally move on from this thing?
Yeah, I kind of hope so. I think it's starting to – it's really starting to feel a little played, and there's only so much talking the two of them can do and only so many different obstacles that can be thrown in Punk's way before, again, people get fatigued. You know, this feels like about the right time to blow it off, to allow Punk to truly get to wallop Paul Heyman, a good one. And then, you know, and maybe I hope, again, for me, it's maybe Punk takes a little time off. Or is given a little bit of time. Don't come back early, Punk, if you leave again this time. So that you can rest up and then come back for wherever you want to, you know, whatever feud they want to work you with next.
See, I think Punk continues to work hurt until he retires. If he really does retire in 2015, like he said, or whatever, I just think it's, you know, look at how long John Cena's done it until they finally force him out because of a surgery. And, of course, he'll be back.
But I don't want to see CM Punk with a football in his elbow.
I know. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to see anybody with a football in their elbow like we saw with John Cena. And I'm okay with stuff like that. No, some people aren't. Some people are a little grossed out when they see that. But I do think they got to keep it simple. I honestly think the next step is for Punk to just come out and be like, I beat Axel, I beat Ryback, you know, Paul Heyman, you got to win over me. There's only one way to settle this, and somehow, over a week or two, get himself into a one-on-one situation with Paul Heyman, who, of course, is still calling himself the best in the world and using CM Punk's trick against him. So I think that's how it's going to have to end. But the great thing is we don't have to wait too long to find out, because we only have 3 weeks until Hell in a Cell. Patrick said it earlier, the little hidden gem of a match in the opener between Alberto Del Rio and Rob Van Dam. When this was announced as a hardcore match, I kind of figured it was the way to go, because that's what Van Dam, especially when they showed the video clips last week on Raw of Van Dam in those situations, it made me think there was some hope for this match. I think it delivered in 2013. It delivered the way I expect a hardcore match to deliver. I enjoyed it. It didn't have the ending that I wanted, but we've got Del Rio winning. Van Dam's going out for a while, and you know, at least according to the internet reports. And I'm okay with it. I was happy with the match. I was fine with the finish and the way they did it. It was creative. Although it was done earlier in the day by Allison Kay and Veda Scott. AIW Girls Night Out. I doubt the WWE was scouting that event and got their finish from that event. But a very, very similar finish anyway, with the arm bar and the chair, took place on that show. And timing-wise, I don't even know. Maybe those happened around the same time. I'm not sure. That was the last match of a double taping, so who the hell knows. But very, very similar finish there. But I'm happy with it, and I'm interested to see what they do with Del Rio next, because I don't hate Del Rio as much as a lot of people do. I know Patrick O'Dowd doesn't either. So, Heather, since we know that Patrick and I are okay with it, how did you feel about the opener of the show?
Well, I thought it was good. Obviously, we didn't get the prediction of Ricardo turning on, you know, either on RVD and helping Del Rio, or even on both of them and helping Sandow cash in. But, you know, I thought it was good. It was entertaining. It fulfilled its purpose. It was a hardcore match in the PG era, so it's not really going to be what people are used to seeing, like when they show the clips of Van Damme from ECW and, you know, thumbtacks and barbed wire and tables and fire and stuff. It's obviously not going to be that in the PG era. So, you know, for what it can be, it's good. And there were some, you know, really good moments in it, and it didn't really lag. And I thought it wasn't too bad. I mean, I'd watch it, but it wasn't hardcore enough to be like a full-on hardcore match, but it was a PG hardcore match.
Right, and Heather and I have never had a chance to talk with, so Patrick O'Dowd can tell you the last thing I ever want to see in a wrestling match is thumbtacks. I just hate the use of things like thumbtacks. I don't even really want to see barbed wire anymore. I'm over that. I was never big on it. Like you carry out a Taipei death match, I'm probably going to leave. Like, I just don't care about that stuff. Light tubes don't do anything for me. When I was in high school, I had fun throwing light tubes into dumpsters and watching them explode. But that was about it. Seeing that happen in a wrestling ring doesn't do anything for me. So, hardcore. Del Rio was underrated in that style, too. Like, he did it with a couple times with the Big Show in the Last Man Standing matches. And I just, you know, I'm decidedly okay with what they've done with Del Rio, and he kind of can deliver in almost any setting that they put him in. Patrick O'Dowd, anything that you can say to put a bow on ADR versus RVD for us?
No, I just, again, don't sell it short. Don't, and they, the amount of time they had to do it and put it together, I think is really what made it a little bit more of a higher quality match than what it could have been for your typical opener. So don't forget it.
One thing, no one seemed to complain about the World Heavyweight Championship being the opener. So we're over that, I'm guessing.
I think we're just used to it. I think that it's come to be expected the same way an X Division match is expected at the beginning of every TNA pay-per-view.
That's true. And because of the way they've taken down the structure, that'll probably happen at Bound for Glory, which I think we got a preview of Bound for Glory next week with the way to October. So, great. I'm excited about that.
You still watch TNA pay-per-views?
I still watch TNA.
Me too. It's amazing. So I don't just watch the YouTube clips like I made Heather do before we talked about Dixie Carter a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, we still watch TNA. So, and I honestly think things can pick up for TNA. I know Patrick couldn't hear the opening of the show because Blood Dark Radio kicked him off, but I played the Ethan commercial or promo that they did, and I'm super excited about, you know, Michael Hutter / Derek Bateman getting his shot in TNA to play this character, and I think it's going to be great. And if there truly is a youth movement coming in TNA, then I'm all for it, and I'm willing to give it a chance. So we're not talking much about TNA this week. We'll have plenty of time next week to do that. And since Bound for Glory is such a clusterfuck, who knows? We may just need to talk about the future of TNA anyway, and where they're at, just because BFG is what it is. BFG is kind of like BFE for me right now. It's just not any place where anyone wants to be. We got a couple people that want to call in, and so let's take a couple calls. Start off in the 516. Pretty sure this is a good friend. 516 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Matt. Hey, Greg, it's Matt.
What's going on? How you doing, Mr. Matthew Holly?
Yeah, I'm just a little bit tired. I read the Twitter timeline earlier this evening about the Battleground main event. I heard people saying it was garbage, but I practically agree. Don't you say anything different?
That it's garbage or not?
I think it's long term booking. I have no complaint. I didn't see the pay per view because of course, problems financially. But with the fans who saw it or had their Twitter timeline blown up, it's their decision to decide. I got no problem with them. But remember, fans have a good, stronger, and better opinions than others. So.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I'll put you back on so you can listen. Patrick O'Dowd loves the internet reaction. So, Patrick O'Dowd, I'm going to let you take that one.
Yeah, the internet reaction, I think it's knee-jerk reaction in general, is to be like, hated it. For those of you who are old like I am and remember in Living Color, Damon Wayans used to do that all the time. Yeah, see, I hear a laugh. It's just one of those things. It's like, was this the greatest pay-per-view in the history of pay-per-views? No. Would I have ever would I pay $60 to watch it over and over and over again? No. But was it the worst ending in the history of endings? Was it this terrible, like, just thrown together bunch of matches that just were awful? No, it wasn't at all. The reality is that the negativity gets hit. I think a lot of times. I think that is what has been, you know, conditioned to be the response, and people, they're like, oh, let's see what was this train wreck of an ending that everybody's talking about, click and read about it, when it wasn't a train wreck. It was what it was. It was a storytelling device. Let it go.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I always thought it was going to be. Let's jump over to our good friend Wayne. Wayne in Pontiac, Michigan. Wayne, how's it going tonight?
Doing okay, guys. Doing okay.
Beautiful. So what were your thoughts? What do you want to throw into the discussion here as we talk about Battleground?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to see Battleground. By me just hearing it, it wasn't even sound like it's worth this money. You know, it's just somebody should have won a title somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous how they're doing it now.
Gotcha. No, I definitely think you bring up a good point. Heather, let's let you respond. Do you think, knowing that there was going to be a non-finish in the main event, should they have done something else elsewhere in the card to make up for it, or is that just is that asking too much? I don't know. How do you feel? Should they have done something else if they couldn't change the main event?
I'm not so sure if they could have done something else. What they did was good, and it did its job, and that's to get you interested in Hell in a Cell for the most part. I think it was pretty much worth it, you know, simply based on the Del Rio match, the Cody Rhodes and Goldust and match, and that same Bray Wyatt kid, that's a horrible thing. seeing all that, you know, I think it was, you know, like, if you're tight on money, don't get it. Save it for Hell in a Cell. But if you've got you know, for a change and you want to watch the pay-per-view, it's a good pay-per-view. Is it their best one? By far, no. Is it their worst one? No, absolutely not. But it was good, and it was better than a Raw. So, I mean, they're going to be expected to pay for it, just like you're expected to pay for any pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, I think, to me, it's just, I don't know, I didn't expect anything more. We got the Rose family moment, like, I feel like that historically can be a big deal. You know, if Cody Rhodes goes on to be a world champion like we kind of think he will, Patrick O'Dowd, will this kind of be looked at as sort of the thing that finally got him elevated?
Yeah, I think there's a real argument for that. I think that he came out looking like $1 million at the end of that match. He did. And, I think that you know, we're going to be able to point and talk to it or talk of it. You know, and I also wonder, is it, you talk a lot, Greg, sometimes about the ending of the show, you know, sort of just being what then people believe to be the
mm-hmm.
show, or like that's the impression. Do you think that's the case that's going on here then? Is that what we're feeling? Or had we done the Rhodes match to end the show, which we shouldn't have done, it wasn't a linchpin of the show, but it wasn't the main event by any stretch. But if you'd had that moment, do you think people are talking about the show differently?
I think so. If the ending moment were different, and I have talked about how to end a show does go a long way into what people think about it, and because I feel that way, I should be bitching, right? I should be complaining. But I just, because this is what I expected going into the show, and I think what you're saying is true. I think you're nailing the way the internet is feeling. This is what they walked away with. They spent 2 hours and 51 minutes of their lives invested, and they got Big Show standing at the top proposing after knocking two people out, and we all know he's going to get hell from Triple H and Stephanie on Monday, and we don't have a WWE champion. I never expect to have a WWE champion after tonight. Like my suggested pay-per-view alternative was King of Ring that saw, you know, Punk and Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton and Ryback as a Raw main event, centered in the middle of the show, not even teasing that we're going to have a WWE champion, because I knew there wasn't going to be a WWE. Okay, I didn't know because I didn't see the format or their booking. I assumed we would end this event with no WWE champion, so that's why I kind of feel different, but I'm sure that's why the reaction is what it is because people, that's what they said, that their dying memory of this show is ending with no WWE champion. So it would have been hard to swallow, I think, for a lot of people, the main event of the Rhodes family versus the Shield. And again, you know, people wouldn't have been happy. Because Patrick O'Dowd, if Daniel Bryan won the WWE Championship tonight at Battleground, what would people be complaining about?
They'd be complaining because it wasn't at a bigger show. They'd be they'd find something.
Yeah, or Heather, what would people be predicting? What would he be predicting if Daniel Bryan won the belt tonight? What would they be predicting tomorrow?
Either that he's going to somehow get the belt taken away from him or lose it.
Are we going to be happy?
Everybody would have said that.
So was there any way for the WWE to make the internet wrestling community happy with this event?
There is no way for them to make the internet happy at all.
I mean, if Daniel Bryan wins at Hell in a Cell, if Triple H says, look, Daniel Bryan, if you win at Hell in a Cell, we're not stripping you of the title, and Daniel Bryan wins at Hell in a Cell, people are going to complain that it took too long. Like, it's just, there's no way to have people not complain, and so I guess I'm satisfied with this pay-per-view only because it met my expectations, and it all depends on what your expectations are going in, and anybody who listened or read knew that my expectations were we were going to see a WWE champion crowned on this event. So it's really is all linked to Hell in a Cell. And you know what? That's good because this feels like a more important Hell in a Cell pay-per-view than we've had in a couple of years, too. So, I mean, Punk versus Ryback was only important last year because it was the first time we saw Ryback in a big money situation. And I felt like he delivered. And, of course, you know, the finish wasn't what we wanted. But, you know, that seems kind of be an ongoing theme lately with with the WWE. It was the finish not being what we wanted. So are you more excited for Hell in a Cell now than you have been in the past, Heather?
I wouldn't say more excited. I mean, Hell in a Cell is traditionally a decent pay-per-view, so I don't mind, you know, waiting for it and watching it. I hope they have something really good planned starting tomorrow. Because, like, what are we going to do besides, we know it's going to have something to do with Punk and Heyman. We know it's going to be Dana Brown and Randy Orton in some capacity. Are they only going to have the one match like they did before, the one Hell in a Cell match again? Or are they going to do multiple matches? I want these questions answered before. I mean, I like surprises, but I also like, you know, a little bit of surprise. Or not surprise, planning, you know, of what I want to see, so I know if I actually want to see it or not.
Well, we can't more planning than weeks this time, just because of the way they're... Although I kind of feel like we've already been planning this for the past 3 weeks. So I think we get two Hell in a Cell matches this time around. I think we get Brian and Orton, and I think, of course, I'm sticking by prediction of Punk. Just, you know, it almost feels dumb for me to say it, but it's the way I'm going. Patrick O'Dowd, feel good about... Do you feel excited to see what they do with Hell in a Cell?
Yes, I guess. I don't know. That's not a really ringing endorsement there. I'm kind of like Heather. I kind of want to know like a little bit of what I'm getting into. There is some anticipation, but I also struggle with Hell in a Cell as a pay-per-view because of the way I feel that the Hell in a Cell match should be used. And if we get the match that you want or hope to see with CM Punk and Heyman, I'll be satisfied with that use of the Hell in a Cell match. I don't know that there's another match that they're shaping up on the card that for me makes sense to be a Hell in a Cell match. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Of course I'm going to watch it. I'll look forward to it. I think the WWE over the past year and a half, for what it's worth, really hasn't put on a terrible pay-per-view in a long time. Like there's, and so I think you've always got that in your pocket as a wrestling fan and for what we get to do.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They haven't had a terrible pay-per-view in a while. This does not qualify as a terrible pay-per-view. I thought it was a good pay-per-view. And I think, you know, I think they've set our expectations where they should be. It's just that some people do ignore what those expectations should be.
Yep.
According to what the WWE has been telling us, I'm not saying that that's where we should be, but we should know by now what we're going to get out of WWE. So I want to shift gears a little bit and have a little fun.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Buggy Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True. I can't help it.
Think five women being promoted by one guy, and everybody seems to get along. Tara, it seems like you guys are just fine with each other.
Of course, we all have a common love, and that's Greg DeMarco. We all love Greg DeMarco.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
So there lies a long-standing history, Patrick O'Dowd, of women professing love on this program. We know that this has happened. It happened for you, too. Don't get me wrong.
Very, very
you have the very rarely. But it has happened to have audio proof of a woman by the name of, you know, Leanne Marie proclaiming her love for you on your birthday as well. And, you know, I mean, last week we did hear something that sounded an awful lot
Actually, not that much. We are, 20 minutes? Yeah, 20 minutes.
Wait. Excellent. Call back in. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to call back in. I'm joking. But
I'm crashing. I'm tired.
No, I don't blame you. then you've been on the go all day and even all weekend. So, Heather Lynn, we will talk to you next week.
Okay. I'll see you guys later. Bye, Patrick. Bye, Greg. And I love you, Greg.
That was the second time of the show that was said, and I will make sure that we give Heather Lynn for that. Heather, by the way, I gotta put some music under that, don't I? Like, I can't leave it non-musical for a very long time. I think you deserve some music underneath that, don't you?
What kind of music would that be?
I think I've proven the kind of music that I like to use for those things. So I think it'll be, you know, not going to be your theme song. But we all know that the music is something that will definitely be enjoyable at least, you know, things like this.
Greg DeMarco.
I mean, that's just, you know, has to be something that people can get into. But therein lies a problem with that, Heather Lynn. And you know, I have roles. And I have roles. And Patrick O'Dowd, what is... what is my rule of DeMarquette? There's something that DeMarquette need to do to be a DeMarquette, and it's not professing their love for me. It's something that they definitely have to be and do on a regular basis. And what is that?
You mean other than come on the show and
willingly
accept that, you know, your offer to be a DeMarquette? Like, it's got to be mutual.
It does have to be mutual, but specific about all 14 of them. Something that they do inside the squared circle that, you know, that's very important.
You mean other than actually wrestle?
Exactly.
Like, what am I missing? I was like,
they
am I missing something?
No, they have to be a wrestler, and that's been the rule for the better part of 2 years that we've had DeMarquettes, dating all the way back to when Buggy became the first ever DeMarquette, and we were adding them here to there. And Patrick O'Dowd, as we look at DeMarquette number 15, rules are made to be broken. That's rules were made. I know, right? That's just, you know, hey, that it's my show. Right? I haven't said that in a while, at least today. It's my show, and if I want to break rules, then...
That's what I do!
And you know what? She may not be a full-time, in-the-ring professional wrestler. Doesn't mean she's never had a match, because that's not true either. She definitely has had a match. I haven't seen the match, but I've seen the pictures of her facing Shelly Martinez. But... I think there's no other thing that we can do with DeMarquette number 15 than to say, Heather Lynn, would you do me the distinct honor of becoming a DeMarquette?
Well, I'd like to say number 15 is one of my favorite numbers, so I think it fits perfectly. It's not 32, but 15 is almost half. So it works.
We may never get to 32. Granted, I never thought we'd get to 15. So
you thought you were going to have like 5.
It was a big deal when I added 5. Like, I was like,
yeah.
4 is it. We're done at 4. And then Scarlett Bordeaux came along, and no one's stopping there. I mean, that's just that was a no-brainer. And then Sue happened. And that was, you know,
that was
spontaneous and obvious. You know, 7 I did, 8 was demanded by Sue, and at that point I just opened the door. But Heather Lynn is more than deserving of the honor, I guess, as some people would call it, the moniker of DeMarquette. So welcome officially to that portion of the family, as you were already a member of the family for months now anyway. So there you go. It's official, Heather Lynn, very deserving of being a DeMarquette. Now, all you people out there, because I've had to explain to other women that I can't make them a DeMarquette because they're not wrestlers, Heather is special. So don't be thinking that this changes things for other people that I've said no to, because it doesn't. I get to make those rules. It's my show. And Heather Lynn is officially a DeMarquette. So congratulations. Your career is over. Just want you to know that.
Oh, thank you. It's been over.
No,
for
it's
a while.
Not.
So this is my, yeah.
You could have said that her career was made or something, dude. Over? Like, I could have given her a Cody Rhodes moment. What was that all about?
Well, now she can come back and have one. Let it bake, Patrick.
Boom.
No doubt. Let it bake.
Marinate, please, yeah. My friend. Marinate.
Nice try, though.
So, marinate. Let it bake is what I stole from Colin Cowherd. It's okay. That's what we can do. So there you go, Heather Lynn, officially at DeMarco.
#32Fantastic, Heather Lynn.
So Heather Lynn, do you think that I should just stop now? Like I should never add another DeMarquette?
Well, you have.
It doesn't matter what
really?
You think!
That, feel
that
better, Patrick?
Just because I'm a DeMarquette, I won't kick your ass for that, okay?
That's why you're a DeMarquette? That's why. Because you were willing to say that. Because you still claim to know where I live. And because, let's be honest, if people could see our private conversations, we have a very special relationship. So that's I'm just gonna leave it there. That's what I'm gonna do. Just gonna leave it. Just gonna leave it right there, Patrick O'Dowd. Don't ask, Patrick O'Dowd. Don't ask.
I still love you too, Patrick. Don't worry.
Oh, thank you. That was very nice of you.
That was polite. So
good to feel loved.
I like you're posting in the old chat room there that the we're going to run out of room on the DeMarquette t-shirt that we haven't made yet. That's why we haven't made it yet. It's just
it's
impossible.
It's 15 women, dude. It's shirts are only so big.
It's a lot of boobs. That's a lot of boobs.
And, and you just added Heather's.
So I know. Some more than others.
Those are serious boobs.
Yeah, like I almost, you know, if I throw Heather, Scarlett, and Cherry Bomb on a shirt, and Taylor, that's it. Like, I think you gotta move to the back of the shirt after that, so.
Yeah. Hell, side boob.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but maybe there needs to be, like, a real shirt and a fake shirt, if you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. I feel what you're dropping.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Great.
What? Look, no one, honestly, well, I can't say no one has hidden it, but people have been open about you know, additions to their bodies, which is fine. It's wrestling. It's 2013. I mean, no one should be surprised by any of this whatsoever. So we're just about done this week on the Greg DeMarco Show with Patrick O'Dowd and Heather Lynn, and in spirit, Sue.
Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang! Bang! Here I come. Bang!
Quick.
Bang!
It's a wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
All right. We skipped the segment today because of time, but I did want to give a little bit of bullshit just because I feel like that's what I should do. There's already early WrestleMania plans talking about matches with people like CM Punk and Randy Orton or Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble. It's October. People, stop. Just stop. Hey, we have no idea. There's probably something vaguely outlining there, but a WrestleMania 27 rematch, don't think that's going to happen. Daniel Bryan, maybe happen, but that's just somebody trying to make their speculation fact, so don't believe it.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
#32Fantastic, and my current favorite new DeMarquette, Heather Lynn.
I'd like to say I respect what WWE is doing with their women's division and that they're trying to elevate it a bit more, and they're actually having pretty good matches with good wrestlers. But if they want to see the division elevated to, say, when TNA had their knockout division going at the rate it was going with, you know, the matches actually being really good, they need to bring in some of the girls from NXT. These girls are ready, they're hungry, and they want to make it better so that we can actually see some women's wrestling on WWE and not just a quick 3-minute match of the same thing that we see all the time.
There was a time when that knockouts division was on fire. I mean, it was the best part of TNA for quite some time, and it's just sad, the state of the division in both companies. So I hope they follow your
bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
I want to say a quick word of congratulations to Matt Hardy, almost one-time Greg DeMarco Show guest Matt Hardy, and almost one-time Greg DeMarco Show guest Reby Sky. Just weren't able to, you know, sometimes people just kind of disappear after a while. But they, obviously, as most people should know, got married this weekend. And there was a point where Matt Hardy was in a pretty bad spot, and she stuck it out. She even tweeted a couple times, like, why do I stick it out? But she stuck it out, and props to her, and good for them getting married. And hopefully that will – he'll stay clean, and they'll have not your typical entertainment world relationship, but actually one that lasts. So good for them, and many years of happiness ahead. Let's hope.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Bang.
That's it. Like, I don't really think we have anything else to cover. I just I don't think there's anything else that we can talk about here. You know, we had a great, you know, great discussion on the pay-per-view. We're going to come back next week, talk some TNA, and of course, Heather Lynn, we get to interview Briley Pierce on the air, so you better write some questions and send them to me.
Okay, I'll try to
figure
that out.
Send me some questions. We got a whole week.
He's pretty good at getting conversations going and keeping them going, so you should be good.
That's, you know, Patrick O'Dowd can tell you. We've had plenty of interviews where the format goes out the window thanks to the guest. So,
yeah, that is true.
I remember RJ City from just a few short weeks ago, Patrick O'Dowd. Like, when a man shows up on the program and demands to become a DeMarquette, that usually takes the interview in a completely different direction. So when Chris Masters comes on and continues singing the Man Called Sting song that we're playing
Sting,
in the background.
Yeah. He loved that so much.
And then we had a discussion about old school themes with Chris Masters. And that's why our show is the best, because no one else
that's
did
right.
that. So, or when Damian Dragon wins the Super 8 and comes on and is talking about the opening theme to our show and not about his retirement.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing what can happen sometimes when you just kick back and have fun. And that's what we do. And next week we're going to do it as well. I'm excited, Heather. You know, props to you. You've got other people trying to book interviews for us now just to keep up with you. So that's you've already made your mark before ever even becoming a DeMarquette. So now you set the bar high, Heather. You set the bar high.
Got to keep them on your toes.
Yeah, well, you do that, and then some. So, wonderful. Well, we will talk to both of you and everyone else next week. Of course, continue to support Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. They got a big show Tuesday night where they're going to review Battleground and maybe preview Bound for Glory. We're going to try to pull a Bound for Glory preview out of our asses as well, and we'll have a ton of fun next week with Briley Pierce. Lots more great interviews to come here in the near future, and we're going to continue to do this as long as you will keep listening. So thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week on The Greg DeMarco Show.
Don't do it like that, baby.